There's a story I shared a few years ago, which goes that a small boy is wading and playing in the ocean while his adoring grandparents watch from the shore. Suddenly, a titanic wave appears out of nowhere and crashes over the child. The water retreats, and he is gone, vanished. The grandmother's hands shoot to the sky as she cries, "Lord, how could you? Have I not been a loving grandmother?" The stricken grandfather joins in. "Have we not given to the church, to the poor, to public radio? Have we not lived a life to make you proud?" Grandmother shakes her fist and rails at the top of her lungs. "God in heaven, bring back my grandson." Suddenly another huge wave rises up and crashes down. The water recedes and the boy is there laughing and splashing as if nothing had happened. A deep voice booms from the sky. "Okay, okay, I returned him. Are you satisfied?" It takes a moment for the stunned grandmother to recover her voice, but she finally speaks. "He had a hat." It seems gratitude doesn't come that easily for some people. Thankfully, wisdom teachers, ancient and modern, have reflected on how to live with an attitude of gratitude and developed practices that can help us in that quest. For example, Vietnamese Zen Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh teaches a mindfulness practice that expands our awareness of what I'll call our lineage of grace, or the great chain of blessing that makes our lives possible. I've shared this exercise before, but it bears repeating. So in your mind, you may choose to close your eyes or not, but picture for a moment the Thanksgiving gatherings that most of us will enjoy this Thursday. The feelings of appreciation we have and the expressions of thanks we offer for the food and the fellowship will certainly be genuine, but a deep mindfulness practice would also ask us to ponder. Are we also thankful for the efforts people make to be there with us? Are we truly thankful for the producers of the vehicles that bring them? For those who built the roads? If someone flies in to join us, are we grateful for the airline employees and the air traffic controllers who bring them to us safely? Are we thankful for the inventors of the jet engine? You get where this goes. And then there's the food on our tables. We may thank the cooks, but will we pause to truly consider that both the vegetables and animals that provide us with pleasure and nourishment were once living things? Will we remember that before our food hits our plates, that it required the energy of the sun, the minerals and water of the earth, the efforts of farmers, truckers, retailers? Are we thankful for those who developed the gas stove and for the workers who brought us the fuel to heat our ovens and warm, or in the case of Southern California in November, cool our homes? Will we recall with gratitude the person or people that taught us to cook without slicing up our fingers or scalding ourselves? So this Thursday, I encourage you to take a moment and invite others to take a moment to meditate on this. For one thing, because it's a deeper view of reality. And for another, because it's good for us. Scientific studies link the cultivation of gratitude with better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, and greater long-term life satisfaction. And with pumpkin pie season, that is, almost upon us, I might add that it's probably good for digestion, too. Now, just as we can't brush our teeth once a year and expect to have a healthy mouth, such benefits accrue more to us when we count our blessings regularly. In experiments, researchers Robert Emmons and Michael McCullough had people keep a journal listing five things for which they felt grateful. The entries were purposefully brief, just a sentence for each of the five things. This was only done once a week, but after only 2 months, compared with the control group, the people who kept the journal were more optimistic and felt happier. They also fell asleep more quickly at night, slept longer, and woke up feeling more refreshed. So for your spiritual and emotional health, I'd like to prescribe keeping a gratitude journal. And to give us a head start, I'm going to pass out some pens and paper right now. I'll just start these in the front. Kate, if you would just pass some back. So, take a minute, write down very simply, full sentences or just a phrase, five things that you're grateful for. If you're having trouble coming up with five, remember Thich Nhat Hanh's exercise. Who built this? Be thankful for the people who built this senior center that we're in and can enjoy our services in, if nothing else. So it shouldn't be too hard. Take a minute. So part two of our exercise is to find a partner. This is an interactive service sermon today. Find a partner, someone you don't normally partner up with. Find somebody that you maybe don't even often have a conversation with just because it hasn't, your paths haven't crossed. Some of you will need to stand to reconfigure yourselves. Please feel free to do that and just take a minute to share a couple of the key ones that came up for you. Each person, take a moment. You don't have to share all five, but share a couple of your priorities, okay? So partner up and take a minute. Okay, so finally, in this section, I'd like you to just raise your hand if you want to share a word or two, just one or two things, not a long sentence, just a word. I'm grateful for X or Y. And especially if anything surprising came up, either with you or your partner, something you didn't think about that you thought was, interesting. Who's ready? Linda?
Warmth.
Okay. Emily?
Nature.
Eric? Freedom of expression, wonderful. Carla?
Health.
Roselva?
Farm workers.
Lefty till the end, Roselva, yes. and rightly so. I'm with you. Others? Becky? Your husband, wonderful. Jose? 25 years in the United States, okay? Freedom, yes. Bruce? Oh, very nice. Yeah. Eleanor. Oh, yeah, I thought your hand went up. I'll share one I heard. Water. Simple water. Clean water. Wow. Yes. So thank you all. I just wanted to remind you that those researchers found that if you do this once a week, you'll have benefits very likely. And what if you did it three times a week? What if you did it daily, nightly, before you went to bed? So this is a real practice of Thanksgiving that is not just theory. It has real effects. And I want to emphasize that strengthening our gratitude muscles is not just for us alone, although it serves us. It's also good for others because as we do this, other research has shown that people tend to be more kind and inclined to generosity and eager to share some of the gifts that they have realize that they have through their communities and our forebears and from the universe and the earth itself. So a second practice now, because today's theme is practicing Thanksgiving, so we're going to talk about practicing. A second practice is to make some of these appreciative feelings public on a regular basis or even on an occasional basis. I call this mindful thanking, right? So we just go through the life and we'll get our groceries or we'll go to the post office and it's common to just say thank you and you're welcome. But how often do we really stop to say thank you? It might seem a little awkward at first because it's just such a common busy world, but I suggest that when you're so moved and it comes to mind, maybe take a moment with the right person to say something along the lines of, "Thank you. My life is better today because you're here. I appreciate you." Something that simple. And be prepared for some strange looks, maybe, but also maybe for a wonderful response, if nothing more than the look in their eye. So that's, I call that practice mindful thanking. Another practice is to develop the habit of writing simple notes of appreciation to others. You might adopt this as a family, each person filling out one a day, like spiritual vitamins, one a day. And depending on your workplace culture, you might bring some notepads to work and say, these are for, and you can even get some that say notes of appreciation and pass them out and see what happens. But just for a moment, I want to ask the question, how are we to be grateful when life's blessings seem to desert us? What about when we or our loved ones or a cause that we care about suffers or is defeated or trampled on in some fashion? Well, first I would say, don't suffer it alone. People have different needs. Some are very extroverted, some are more introverted. I understand that. But I would say that generally, when we find that we could use some help or support, reach out. In this context, reach out to me or the pastoral care team. But no matter what you do, through family, friends, other groups, reach out for as much support and solace as you can. And you'll find often that people are there for you, at least to the degree that they're able to be. And certainly traumatic events or intense heartbreak or chronic stressors like poverty or illness or other hardships can make it hard to access that sense of life's gifts, at least for a while. But part of the empowerment and healing that is possible comes from what we bring to such experiences, how we've prepared our hearts. And if we have regularly fostered gratitude, if we enter into suffering with an awakened awareness of the larger connections that have nourished us, we're likely to be more resilient, more hopeful, more at peace with the process despite the understandable anxieties or grief. And this is the mindset and the advice of the great mystics and the enlightened teachers. We can't demand this spiritual wakefulness or just flip a switch, but we can cultivate it through practice. And I've discussed some, and we've done one, and in closing, I want to briefly offer quickly a few other possibilities specific to the Thanksgiving holiday. I shared these last year and feel they're worth reprising, and I really hope you'll try at least one this week. And you have cards and pens, so if something strikes you, make a note. You're all set up. And apply it this Thursday. And because one of the beautiful things about Unitarian Universalism is that we realize wisdom can come from anywhere, I don't feel embarrassed saying that these were taken from a Ralph's grocery store flyer. So, from the book of Ralph. Number one, pay it forward. If you host a gathering, invite your guests to bring food pantry donations. Or, looking forward, toy donations or Christmas gift donations. And then if they bring food to share, bring them next Sunday and we'll add it to our basket and we'll get it to the food pantry for you. So anything that works to reach out beyond our giving or our taking of the day and paying it forward. Number two, create appreciation awards. Put out some craft materials before dinner and have people make awards, little turkey pine cones or certificates or anything that you happen to have around. Some people are more crafty than others, but anyone can put a piece of paper there and say, thank you, this is my award for so-and-so. And then you give the awards and you share the reason for the awards during dinner or after dinner. And it can be very simple. I appreciate my dad for this, or I appreciate this for that, my friend for that. Number three. They call cover the table with thanks. And I like this one the best of all. It's very artistic. Rather than your best tablecloth, or put that down first, but then get some butcher paper, white or brown, and lay that down all on top of the table, under the plates, everything else, and put crayons and markers out, And before, during, and or slightly after dinner, invite guests to write or draw what they're thankful for. Just simply put it down. And then my addition to that is to tape it up after dinner, gravy stains and all. Just put it up on the wall, invite people to look at it, to add to it throughout the evening, and if you want to and it doesn't smell, leave it up all weekend. Leave it up all weekend as a reminder of the fellowship that you shared and all the things that are on it to be grateful for. And finally, here's one more that Ralph's didn't mention that requires little or no prep. Turn the lights low before dinner. Join hands in a circle and just invite each person to state what they're grateful for. Kind of a verbal version of what we did with the cards here. You could light a candle or drop a stone or ring a chime after each person shares. And or you could echo words of affirmation along the lines of, "We are thankful for your presence in our circle." This is a very simple yet potentially very powerful ritual, because inherently gratitude is an inherently powerful thing. It's so powerful that the ancient Roman philosopher Cicero declared that, quote, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others." And centuries later, medieval theologian and mystic Meister Eckhart asserted that if the only prayer you say in your entire life is "thank you," that will suffice. So thank you to all of you for all you do for others and for making this congregation what it is. And because there is a cornucopia of benefits in regularly practicing Thanksgiving, make it a grateful day, make it a grateful holiday, make it a grateful life. Blessed be, and amen.